Hello, welcome to the Lean of Plants podcast. My name is Chelsea, and if you are struggling to lose weight on a plant-based diet, then this podcast is for you. While there are thousands of books, podcasts, and resources about the benefits of a plant-based diet, the reality is that being vegan does not guarantee losing weight. If you are feeling frustrated and confused about where to start, or you know exactly what you should be doing, but you just can't seem to rustle up enough willpower to do it, then keep listening. In this podcast, you'll learn the truth about plant-based weight loss, but just as importantly, how to use proven methods of behavioral change to turn what you know into lifelong habits that lead to getting and staying lean. Can't wait to get started. Let's do this. Let's talk about having hard conversations. Let's talk about interacting with other people who are on their own journeys. They have their own insecurities. They have their own ideas and wishes for you and for themselves. And how to actually navigate that in a positive way so that you can get the outcomes you want and live the life that you choose. C.S. Lewis talks about this idea that we're all navigating a ship and we're all in the ocean. The problem is that not only are you trying to steer that ship, which is yourself, with your own childhood trauma, your worldviews, your viewpoint, your goals, but other people are also doing the same. And we're constantly at risk of bumping into and crashing into other people. One of the things that I've realized along this journey is how vastly important it is to decide what you want, the direction that you're going, the things that matter to you, your values, and then regardless of acceptance or approval or comfort to those in your vicinity, how to continue to move forward. And I believe that this is such an essential skill set of anyone who is on a journey to become the hero of their story. Because by definition, you are leaving the comfort of your home. You are leaving the comfort of the known. You will be seen as an outlier. You will be seen as weird. Unless you have a friend group that are all running marathons and eating super healthy and drinking green juices and a spouse that makes you low calorie potatoes and broccoli and never wants to go out to eat, then you are going to have to navigate how to be this person who is not normal, who is weird. So this episode was taken from a live event in our community, and I think there's some things that you're just going to find super valuable here. We're not going to go deep into how every single conversation can go, but what I want to do is talk about three steps or pillars, if you will, of how to see yourself in relation to others in order to navigate any instance where you need to express and get an outcome that may require cooperation, understanding, or uncomfortableness, or awkwardness, or being misunderstood, or anything to do with interaction with another human. I hope that you find this valuable and helpful to become who you want to be, regardless of whether you have the approval and the understanding of those around you. If we don't know how to navigate that ocean where we keep bumping into other people, the biggest thing that's going to happen is that we just don't move towards our own goals. We're going to be constantly swayed to whatever the environment of the people that we hang around is. So if you're hanging around people who they're running marathons, they eat the way that you do, they inspire you, they have behaviors and habits that are better, that you are wanting to move towards, then you don't really have to do much. You just need to hang around those people and then you're going to get to your goals. It's almost inevitable. We become like the five people that we spend time with. But if you're anything like me, then a lot of the people that I spend time with, they're not actually moving in the direction that I want to go. So I'm the outlier here. So I've got to be really, really damn sure that my behavior is acting in accordance with the direction that I want to go and is not being influenced by the people around me. Because if it is, then I'm actually moving further away from them. I think there's three things that we need to do in order to keep moving towards our goals in a non-perfect environment. And the first one is to take radical responsibility. The second one is to take, or the second one I would actually say is not this. I kind of rearranged my steps when I thought about them. But the second one is to embrace bodily autonomy, which is a kind of a weird thing to say, but I'm going to go into explaining what that is, how that influences your bodily autonomy and also someone else's as well. Recognizing that there are two ships, it's not just one, we're not connected. I'm going to talk about that. Really excited about this concept, by the way. And then the third piece of this is to embrace proactive action. That's having a mindset of, I'm going to influence the situation in a way that I want it to go. So diving into the first one, we've talked a lot about radical responsibility. And if you've listened to the podcast before, you've probably heard this concept. Really, it's diving into this idea that we are responsible for our behavior. You have to take 1000% ownership over your own body. And there's this book, which I absolutely love. It's one of the first books that I read about personal development. It's the OG, and it's The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And so Stephen Covey in this book talks about how between response, which is what how we choose to act, and stimuli, which is anything that is happening to us, what someone says to us, whether we choose to walk left or right when we get to the end of the road, how we choose to parent, how we choose to do absolutely anything. Our response between what is happening to us and acting upon us and how we choose to respond, there is a gap. And he calls this gap our freedom. That even if you have a gun to your head, that you have a choice in what you do. If you have a gun to your head, like, we're going to take it to this extreme because it's important to understand the extreme. Because if we understand how what the extreme looks like, then everything else becomes easier for us to put into context. Let's say that you have a gun to your head. Horrible idea. And the choice is that you can either hurt your child, like really hurt your child, or you can accept that bullet. You have a choice. They're not nice choices, but you can die. You can choose to sacrifice yourself. I mean, ultimately, you do get a choice in that scenario. So there's always an ability to respond, even if we take it to the extreme of death. No one is forcing you to do anything. Even at that point, they cannot force you to do something. The very worst that they can do is that they can take your life. But that's still your choice at the end of the day. You have ultimate choice. And it's so important to understand this and take it to its extreme, because we have to take that position if we're going to take radical responsibility for our choices in the things that are much, much, much less extreme. Like, hopefully no one's ever in that position to do that. But it's really fascinating to me because there's Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl has a book, Man's Search for Meaning, and he talks about, he was in a concentration camp. So you'd say this is where you have almost all of your choices removed. And this is where the idea comes from, actually, in Stephen Covey's book, that he would see people in that environment become almost like animals in their response. And then a few people would retain their humanity because they chose that even in the worst situations, the worst cruelty, that they were going to choose to act in a certain way. They were going to choose to act in accordance with their values and their morals. And there wasn't many people that did that, but it was a choice. And so he kind of proposed this idea that really that's the thing that no one can ever take away from you, is your ability to respond. No matter what's going on, you always have a choice into how you respond. You might not have a choice in terms of what's happening to you, but you can choose how you respond to it. And this is really taking a hero's mindset versus a victim mindset. The hero goes, hey, there's all these things that have happened to me, but I'm going to choose to overcome them. I'm going to choose to be that hero that walks forward. And if you think about victims and heroes and villains, they normally all have a very similar backstory. They normally have something terrible that happens to them, and then they choose to rise above that thing. So we need to think, I'm the position that I'm in. No one else is responsible for where I am today. There is not something outside of my control in terms of how I respond. While there are instances that I can't control around me, I can control my internal environment. I can control my choices to respond. Not my spouse, not my teenagers, not my boss. I am actually a creative divergent thinker. I have influence. I can make things happen. I can create crazy change for myself when I take radical responsibility. So we need to take ownership for all our choices around food. And when it comes to how this influences where we deal with other people, you have to really take this and go, I have that radical responsibility for the food that I put in my mouth, the places that I choose to go, the people that I choose to spend time with, and whether those people's opinions of me or emotions or expectations are going to influence my choices. I still get a choice to respond. So if you think about this on something like a work trip, what's a kind of a typical response that a lot of us would say? I'm going on a work trip. I can't choose where I go. Let's take it to the logical extreme. You do have a choice. You can quit your job. I'm not saying do that. But you say, well, I can't quit my job because I have to care for my family. You could choose to not care for your family. Like, you really could choose to do that. Well, I'd be homeless. You could choose to be homeless. You could choose not to provide. You could choose not to be to ignore your responsibilities. Ultimately, you could choose to like languish on the couch and have everything crash and burn around you. So when you say, okay, work trip, I don't get to choose anything. Like, you do. You have choice there. I'm not saying do these things, but recognize that you have choice. You always have a choice to influence outcomes. So if someone else is choosing where you eat, you have a choice to talk to that person. You have a choice to propose a different opinion. You have a choice to call the place in advance. You have a choice to bring food with you. You have a choice to ask if you can bring food with you. You have a choice to present a presentation of different ideas for where you could go. You have a choice to pay for everyone. You have a choice to pick a picnic and pack everything. You have unlimited choices when you take radical responsibility. Like, you have infinite choices in terms of what you could do. The only time that you don't have a choice is when you decide that you don't have a choice, because now you've shut off any ability for yourself to take proactive action. And I know how crazy this sounds, but it's really, really important to understand that you always have a choice. The only time that you don't is when you decide that you don't. You might not have as much influence as you think, but normally when we decide that we have the ability to respond in a certain way, that we always have freedom over our responses, our circle of influence and our ability to influence the situation grows astronomically, because we recognize that we can actually influence it. So the second piece of this is to embrace what I'm calling bodily autonomy. Obviously, I didn't come up with that term, but radical responsibility is really realizing that you're not actually connected to someone else, that they cannot make you do things, even to that point of death. They can influence your behavior. They can put you in a situation where you have less choices available to you. They can influence your responses, but they cannot control it. And between you and someone else, just like response and stimuli, there's a gap. We're not actually connected to anyone else. You have bodily autonomy. You exist inside of your body, and they exist inside of theirs. They can't make you feel embarrassed for the choices that you make. They can't make you feel embarrassed that you have broccoli in the microwave. Like, that's a choice. They can influence it. They can say, oh, that stinks, that's disgusting. But they can't make you feel a certain way. If they could make you feel a certain way, then another person who didn't care what someone thought would have to have the same response or have the same feelings. They cannot make you feel something. They cannot make you act a certain way, but they can influence that. They cannot control your emotions. So the inverse is also true. This is where it gets really, really interesting. If you are distinct from someone else, if someone else can't control you and they can't control your response, then you also can't control someone else's response. There's a gap there. You are not responsible for someone else's response. You cannot make someone else do something. You cannot make someone else feel something. You cannot control someone else's emotions. You are responsible for you and your choices alone. Your choices may influence someone else's response. No question about it. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But that's only influence. There is a gap. So if you think about this, where do most of us really, really fall into issues when we're thinking about how we relate and how we have hard conversations with someone? We think that our choices are connected. It's almost like this Venn diagram where you have you and then you have this interconnectedness with someone else, rather than saying, hey, like, we're distinct. So that when you ring up a restaurant and you ask for them to cook without oil, you're like, well, I'm going to inconvenience them. You might influence that, but like, you're not actually connected to that. Whether that's an inconvenience for that person or not, they get to choose whether they take that on. They get to choose whether the inconvenience is worth it for them, is worth keeping your business, is worth keeping a good customer relationship. You can't force them to make that decision. They're responsible for their own way of thinking about it. You're talking to a service person and you're saying, hey, like, can you make up this food for me? Can you do a baked potato? Can I bring food with me? All of these different things. You can't make that person feel annoyed. You can influence it, but you're distinct from it. Whether that person feels annoyed, whether that person feels inconvenienced, whether that is more work that that person chooses to take on or not, you're responsible for how you interact with that person, but you are not responsible for how that person feels or the things that that person chooses to do as a response. And how many times have we said things like, I'm going to tell you an exact story that I heard recently, having a conversation with someone, and they said, like, my mother-in-law, they really, really struggle with their weight. They're pre-diabetic. They've been on every single diet. And this person is they're a pastor's wife, I'm pretty sure. And so what happens is that they quite often will go into people's homes, part of the congregation, and they'll do pastoral care. And then they will have cake put in front of them. They will have something that those people that they're going into their homes, they'll say, hey, like, I made this dish for you. I made this brownie, I made this cake, whatever. And the funniest thing, well, to me, was that the person who was talking to me about their mother-in-law, they're like, well, you know, she doesn't have a choice. And in my mind, I'm like, I get what you're saying, but the way that I think about this is so vastly different based on the mindset and based on the worldview that I have, because I'm looking at it like she has a million choices. Let's take it to the logical extreme. She could throw the cake out the window. She could throw it in their face. She could pick up handfuls of it and rub it on the floor. She could paint with it on the wall. I know this sounds crazy, but she does have a choice. She could eat it. She could eat one piece. She could eat two. She could eat 2.5 pieces. She could eat the whole thing. She could go to the cupboard and start raiding it. She could walk out the door. There is infinite things that this person could do presented with this stimuli. The difference is going to be is whether this person makes choices that are in alignment with who they want to be, and they're going to be okay with that person having bodily autonomy and making decisions that are in line with what they want to do, but recognizing that they are distinct from that person. So obviously the best choice to make for this person in this situation, if they don't want to eat cake, is to not eat cake. And to recognize that their choice and how they decide to get there, while it may influence this other person's feelings, they are not responsible for them. While this person may be offended that they didn't eat the cake set in front of them, it is not their problem. What is their problem is the fact that they are pre-diabetic and they're continuing to choose to eat cake. They're continually choosing to be in a situation where they're doing something that they don't want to do, but they are making the choice that it is for some reason worth it for them to do that. And if you make the decision that it is worth it for you to do that, fine. Like, that's your choice, but recognize that it was your choice. You made a decision in that moment that's trying to influence someone else's emotions that you have no control over anyway was more valuable and more important than you working towards your goals and what matters to you. Because the thing about it is that you cannot make that person happy. Even with your own choices. You cannot make that person sad. You do not have control over that other person. If you think about this in terms of your teenagers, let's take this to so many different ways and think about how it can go. You sit down with your teenagers. You have a hard conversation about the fact that you don't want to have snacks in your house. Well, first of all, let's even take it further back than that. Figuring out, what do you actually want to achieve? What is going to be an environment that's going to be most helpful for you to be successful? What are you trying to do here? If you're at a stage where you have people that you cook for in your house and you're buying processed foods, you're the person who buys the foods for those people. If it's not helpful for you to have those foods in your environment, then you got to make a decision. Well, hey, do I want to still continue to have them here? Or is it going to be better for me to have an environment where it's easier? All right, well, what's going to be the knock-on effect? I have influence. So if I have teenagers, well, you know what? Maybe I don't want them growing up with having to be reliant on this kind of food for a dopamine hit or for normality anyway. Maybe I don't want to create an environment because it's a choice. Maybe I don't want to continue to choose to create an environment for my spouse, for my teenagers, for my little ones, that this is normal. Maybe I want to create a different environment. Again, like, it's your choice what you want to do, but you've got to be actually thinking about the fact that you have influence here and that you do have choice. So if you make the decision, you go, you know what, I don't really want to have this in my environment, and there's lots of positive reasons why it's going to be better for me and it's going to be better for the people around me, then when you go into a conversation like that, you have the ability to ask for what you want and present an idea and recognize that how someone else takes it is really not your responsibility. We're going to get into how to do that in a positive way in a moment, but we have to recognize that we're distinct from it. That if your teenagers are upset with you, you can choose to have your teenagers upset with you. Like, that's a choice. I choose to have my kids upset with me all the time, because I would rather have my kids upset with me and do the things that I believe are right for them than to have my kids always be happy with me and not parent well. Like, that's a choice that I make. It's really, really important that we're not taking on other people's emotions, other people's feelings, other people's biases, and saying that we ultimately have control of them. Because I think the thing that's really hard about this, or the thing that really gets me with this, is that we're not giving that person bodily autonomy if we take that away from them, if we think that we have ownership of that. There's this book that I started reading, I actually never finished it, and it's called something like the Aladdin Principle. And it's based on this idea of ask and you shall receive, which is from the Bible, from Matthew. And it's this idea that if you never ask, you're never giving an opportunity for that person to choose to say no. You're not actually giving that person more choice. And so who are you to do that in a lot of ways? Like, who are you to assume that you have that much control over someone else that you never even give them a choice for how they are going to respond? You never ask your boss, hey, can we go to a different restaurant because blah, blah, blah. You're never giving them the opportunity to say, sure, find me a list of things. You've assumed and really kind of almost taken ownership over their response by assumption. It's not our place to do that. It's not our place to do that to ourselves, and it's not our place to do that to others. The thing that does happen, though, is that we have influence, and this is where taking proactive action comes in. So proactive action is taking ownership, again, this is all about ownership, for the outcomes that you want. You have bodily autonomy, so do others. And within that, you have infinite choice to how you're going to influence the situation to get an outcome that you want that is beneficial to you, and hopefully a win-win as well. But recognizing that it's not your responsibility if it's not a win-win. Like, that's the part that's really, really important. The ways that you can do this is, first of all, just plan in advance. Think about all the things that are possibilities and then make a plan of what you could do when it comes to having those hard conversations. And when we think about hard conversations, I'm thinking about things like communicating with a partner, communicating with friend groups, communicating with like service people or industries or businesses where that you're involved with, where you've got to communicate, hey, like, these are my food choices, all of those kind of things. Seek to create a win-win scenario. Seek to create, to communicate early and set expectations. And ultimately realize that you are the person who is most invested in getting the outcome that you want. So having a system that thinks about how is the easiest path for me to get the outcome that I want and being really, really responsible for that. So here's an example. I don't want to put responsibility on anyone else for the outcomes that I want. First of all, because I don't think that it's their responsibility. And then secondly, because I give over a lot of influence when I do that. So if I'm going to eat at someone's house, rather than saying, hey, like, these are all the things that I can't eat, I will say, I will cook. Because I have the most influence over the situation when I cook the meal. I don't really have a lot of influence when I just tell someone what I don't want to eat. And I also don't have a lot of influence if I only make like a small portion of that and then it all goes really quick, which has happened as well. Where I will go to events and I will make some amazing vegan food and then it's all gone. And then I don't have anything to eat. So I'm asking myself, well, how can I have the most influence? How can I take the most bodily autonomy? Well, the most bodily autonomy for me would be I don't put that on anyone else to organize my food, to figure out what my preferences are, and to make sure that there's enough for me. So I'm going to make sure that I look after myself to achieve that and really plan that into what I'm doing. So what would that look like? Like, this is just really, really practical stuff. If you're going to a restaurant, like, obviously communicating, hey, what do you have on the menu? What can you change on the menu? How do you have the most influence over this? You do that a day before or a week before. You don't do that when you're sitting at the table with five other people that are looking at you and you feel stressed and you feel like you don't have the time to communicate that accurately and there's nothing in your brain. Like, when do you have the most influence over that situation? It's days beforehand when you've already researched the menu. If you take that even one step further, we go, well, how could I have even more influence to get even to have more of an assurance that I'm going to get the outcome that I want? You could communicate with the people that you are eating with about where you want to go. How could you have more influence over the decision about where you go? You could make it easy for those people to make a decision. Is it easier for someone to say yes to a list of five places that you've already researched that you know you're going to be able to eat the kind of foods that you want? Or is it easier for them to have to think about that and then accommodate you and then plan that and then do their own research? Which is going to get an easier yes? You're already having more influence when you take more and more ownership of the outcome. The further back that you go at the beginning of situations, you always have more influence than the further down the line that you get. Your decision, it's almost like a tree. And at the base of it, if you start at the base of the tree, you have a lot of influence over all the trunks, over all the branches. But if you're out on a limb, at that point, you still have control of your response. You could ultimately decide that you don't eat. You could ultimately decide that you don't eat the food that you ordered. You could ultimately decide that you bring the potato out of your purse. You could ultimately decide that you just drink water. There's still a million choices that are open to you, but it's a million less than there were before you got out on the limb. And you can think about this in terms of something like dating or something like marriage. When you first go on a date with someone, you have a lot of choice open to you of whether you go on another date with that person, what kind of behaviors you like, all of those different things. You have infinite possibilities at that point because you're not, you haven't made any kind of commitment. There's still a million other people in the world that you could choose from at this point. But if you've been married to someone for 10 years and you have 5 kids with those that person, and you have like a shared bank account and you have all these different things, obviously your choices about what you do in that situation are much more limited because you've gone down a road where you have less influence now. You had more influence over possibilities at the beginning. You have less influence over those as you move forward in your decision making. So I'm always thinking when it comes to hard conversations, how can I have those conversations? How can I set up the influence so that it is so far back where I have more and more influence over this outcome? I have more influence over that when I actually propose. The moment that my friend group says, hey, we want to hang out, let's hang out, we haven't done it for ages. If I instantly jump in there and I'm like, you know what, I know this amazing place to have a picnic, and here's what I'm thinking we could do, and I can organize everything and I'll tell you what to bring, that you have so much influence at that point to get an outcome that is a win-win for everyone. Once you're sitting at the table, you don't. So while you ultimately can influence things, and the further back that you go to influence them, while you do have that, at the end of the day, the way that they feel, their wishes, their desires, and their worldview, you cannot change. You can influence, but you cannot change. You are only responsible for yourself. And I think that we have this idea that we have more influence over others than we actually do, or more control over others, I should say. You don't get to choose that someone is happy because you ate the cake that they accepted, that you accepted that they made for you. You don't actually have control over that. You think you do. You think that by being an inconvenience, you are choosing that the group stays happy. You didn't. You just think you do. It's this false sense of control that you have, that if you continue in the behaviors that cause the least amount of strain, or they go out of the norm, that you are somehow controlling the environment. You're not. You just think that you are. That person could be, have so much stress on their mind, they don't care whether you eat the cake or not. You're not actually making them happy. You just think they are. They might not care if you say no. And even if they did, like, you still can't control that. And do you see that so much of this is so assumptive that we think that we can control how other people think about things? I always say this to my husband when we go out to eat, because I have a worldview that it's okay and it's positive for me to ask for what I need. And if that is going to be an inconvenience for someone, they can choose how they respond to that. And it's okay to ask for what I need, even if that does inconvenience someone, because then I'm not responsible for how they choose to take that. And so quite often my husband will be like, oh, you know, I don't like this or I don't like that, but like, I don't want to say anything. Like, you're not giving that person choice on how they could respond. They might relish the opportunity to provide a better service. They may relish the opportunity to want to give you something. They didn't know that meal wasn't hot. They didn't know that they mucked up your order. It doesn't actually benefit them to not know that. Like, ultimately, like, we have to realize that we're responsible for ourselves. We're not responsible for other people. We have amazing influence. At the end of the day, there is distinction from that. What you do choose when you choose to not act in alliance with who you want to be and your own goals is that you choose that your goals are not important. That's what you choose. You didn't keep someone happy. You didn't keep the peace. You didn't make things comfortable for everyone. You chose that your goals weren't important. That's what you ultimately chose. You can't choose those things for other people. You can't choose all these lovely, wonderful things that you want for other people. You do choose the negative for yourself. That's your choice. So really the question is like, who do you want to be? What are your goals? And so when you approach hard conversations, and really in anything in life, it comes back to that. I'm responsible for me. I am not responsible for someone else. I think that when you understand the mindset piece of it, or you understand the concepts of it, it's a lot easier to approach any of these topics and all the nuances in terms of how they work. Realizing that your influence starts a whole lot further back. You have more influence the further back that you have, and that you just don't have responsibility for other people. So I have a friend whose parents don't approve of the fact that they moved from their hometown to where we live now. And her parents are keto and they don't approve that she's vegan and she's raising her kids vegan. And when they sat down and told the parents that they were moving, the mum was like, this is... She took that all very personally. It was like, oh, you don't think that I parented you properly. Like, you're just trying to... You think that I did such a bad job and all of these different things. It's like, that's her mum's choice to feel those things, to believe that those things are true. And ultimately, whether this girl stayed in her hometown or not, she can only... It doesn't change the choices that her mum makes to see this in a certain worldview. You can try to influence someone's approval of you. You can try to influence someone's acceptance of you. But ultimately, that's their choice. I think the part that I probably didn't talk about enough was letting go of this need to be approved of people, and or recognizing that whether you're trying to influence approval of yourself, or whether you, where you put that in your budget of values, your priorities of values, is a choice. And ultimately, if you choose that you're going to try to have people approve of every action, if that's going to be a higher value to you than doing what you want to do, then that's a choice. You just made a decision right then and there that people's approval of you, or even just your idea of thinking, like your own idea, not their actual approval, just your perception of it, your feeling of being uncomfortable or being comfortable. You made a decision that your feelings of being comfortable and you feeling like you maybe didn't want to be, like you're not an inconvenience, not genuinely, just your feelings of it, just your perception of it, that's more valuable than your goals. It's like, you can choose that, but recognize that that's a choice. Like, I'm sure as heck not going to choose my messed up, like inaccurate view of how other people see me and approval of other people. I'm sure is not going to put my lens of how other people would see me and approve of me as more important than the things that I approve of myself. Like, what I actually believe is right is far more important to me than my perception of someone else not accepting that. And that's the decision that we've got to make. And every hard conversation that we have is really just accepting that I can't control this person. And they can't control me. They can't make me feel bad. They might say things that influence how I feel, but they can't make me feel like I'm letting the family down. That's a choice that I make. Because I have the ability, this is where responsibility comes in, I have the ability to take an emotional response. Let's say I'm in a situation like my friend was, where she's hearing these things from her mum. You're moving because you think that I'm a bad parent. She has the ability at that point to feel that stimuli, hear these things that her mum's saying, and actually analyze it. Am I making this decision because I think that my mum was bad? Would it matter if I did make that decision based on that? I'm feeling all these things. I'm feeling sad that my mum feels this way. But is it true? Does it matter? Okay, well then I'm not going to take this on. I might feel the things, but I'm not going to take this on and accept it as truth. I'm going to do what I know that I need to do for my family anyway. She can't make me feel bad. She can just put her feelings into the aura of my vicinity. She can give me a baton. I kind of think of this as almost like passing on a baton. Someone can give you a baton and go, here's my expectation of you. Here's my disapproval of you. Here's everything. You can choose to take the baton or not. You can be like, you hold on to your own baton. Like, how powerful is that? How invincible can we become when we think about this in this way? Does this blow anyone else's mind when you think about this? Like, think about this in terms of all the extreme things that you could do. That you could dance at the gym. And you could choose whether you saw other people thinking that that was cringe or not. You could choose whether you cared about whether other people, your perception of that was accurate or not. That you could sign up for things that you've not done yet. That you could have conversations with your spouse where you're like, you know what, I'm not gonna buy the food anymore. When I go shopping, I'm not gonna buy it. You can do what you want. Like, I literally said to my husband before we got married, I was like, hey, I don't care what you eat. I mean, I do, but I can't control you. But when I choose to cook, I will be choosing to cook vegetables. And if there's gonna be conflict around that, at that point, I had a lot of decision ability at that point, right? I have a lot of influence ability. I'm like, if that is going to be something that you don't want to opt into, then this is not going to work. And he's like, no, I don't care. Like, you cook, you do whatever you want. But you still, I still have choice right now. I'm in a fat loss phase right now, and I'm cooking different kind of meals for my family. Like, if my husband wants to cook different things, he can do that. He's not going to do it. But I hop in the kitchen. It's my choice what I cook. Like, unless someone is standing behind you and they are holding your arms and they are making you cook a steak because they are, like, literally holding you and forcing your hand, no one can choose. No one can force you to do anything. You are choosing that you don't want to deal with the conflict that it's going to that's going to happen if you were to not do that. Or you don't want to be involved in tons of conversations around how that would work. Or you don't want to have disapproval from someone. Or you don't want to inconvenience them. Or you don't want to have any kind of like conflict in your marriage or anything like that. Like, you're still choosing those things. And those things are fine. Like, if you're going to choose them, it's fine. But recognize that they are choices. And you have more influence than you think. Because if you sit down with that person that loves you, especially when we're talking about family, and you say, hey, like, these are the choices that I need to make, and here's why, and I would really appreciate if you were to do this, and this is how we can make it a win-win, then most of the time, like, unless that person is pretty darn terrible, like, most of the time they're going to support you. I think where people don't support us is where we expect people to take on too much responsibility for our outcomes. Like, I truly believe that's our biggest issue, is that we think that it's one or the other. We don't have ownership of our own choices, and so we put that on other people. Other people shouldn't be responsible for the kind of foods that are available for you when you go to a wedding. Like, that's not their responsibility. It's not a restaurant's responsibility to have an oil-free or even a vegan option. It's not an airplane's responsibility. It's not your mother-in-law's responsibility to not bring the cake over that she always has. But it's your responsibility to say, hey, I don't want that anymore. And you don't have to understand my reasonings. Embracing being misunderstood. It's so funny. Like, I'm just even thinking about this. Who was told as a kid, like, you're going to be tempted with drugs. You're like, you're going to be tempted to, like, smoke and all these things. Anyone else, like, told that by their parents all the time? Like, you're going to have to be strong and, like, all this stuff. Like, you're going to have to resist peer pressure. Was anyone else told that? A lot. Yeah. And then, like, how often do we just not even tell ourselves these things? We're like, oh, the cake's there, I better eat it. Like, this should be old news for us. We've been told this our whole lives, that we have to be able to resist the thing, like, resist peer pressure. And yet we give into it all the time when it comes to food. Like, it's a choice. I'm allergic to, honestly, feel allergic to people saying, I don't have a choice. Like, when people say that, I'm like, I'm sorry, we probably can't be friends. Or I'm going to challenge you on it if we are. I think one of the things that really changed for me, even in the last couple of years, is you guys probably know, like, my husband has multiple sclerosis. Like, sometimes, like, I'll see the degeneration in his health, and I'll see, like, the ability of things that he used to be able to do that he no longer can. And how that, like, affects our family, how that affects me, and then also thinking, like, what's this going to look like? What's this going to look like this in 10 years? And even up until probably, I'd say, 2 years ago, in my worst moments when I felt most sad and trapped in that situation for something that is out of our control, I would always revert to, well, I never asked for this. Like, I'm healthy. Like, why is this happening to me? Like, all these things where, like, now the decisions that I have where I'm out on a limb, they're a lot more dire than had I known about this before we got married, right? Like, my choices would have been different before we were so invested in this relationship. And so I'd always be like, well, I don't have a choice. Like, I'm trapped in this. And I can't remember exactly why, but I remember one day, and I was literally outside walking around out in front of my gate, on the phone to my mom, I'm pretty sure, crying. And I think she even may have said to me, she's like, you have a choice. Like, leave your kids, leave that on them. Or she may not even have said this, but it was like, you have choice. You can be a horrible person, and, like, maybe not even a horrible person, but you can make a selfish choice. It's your choice. You have ultimate choice. You could hop on a flight tomorrow. You could leave your kids and abandon them. You could leave your marriage and abandon a good person who is committed to you that you made a commitment for. You could let all your friends and family down by deciding to opt out. You could go and live the life that you want to and leave these three people behind, not to mention the countless others that would be affected by that decision. Ultimately, it's your choice. And I think like taking it to that extreme made me realize like, I don't want that. I don't want the weight of my kids, of knowing that I've taken away an amazing mum from my kids. I don't want the weight of like Nick having to deal with that. I don't want to be the person who goes and lives a somewhat free life in leaving chaos behind me. I don't want that. I have a choice. I could choose that, but I don't want that. I'm not trapped. I've got some pretty horrible circumstances that mean that my choices in terms of what my life looks like are going to be more limited than what I thought they were. My responses to them are going to need to be different. The way we do life as a family, the grief that we deal with, it's different to what I expected. But ultimately, I do have a choice. And I cannot tell you how much freedom that has given me to realize that I have choice. And I just don't want the alternative. Because the alternative has so much cost. And this choice has so much cost too. The cost is high. But the cost for the other one is so much greater to me. So I won't choose it. Like, how powerful is that when we realize that we just have so much choice? You go, I can create the life for myself that I want, and I can't control all the stimuli, but I have so much choice and I have so much influence. That's pretty darn exciting. We're going to leave it there because we're over. But yeah, just want to leave that with you guys. You are the hero of your story. You have the ability to respond. You are not responsible for someone else's view of you. You cannot change someone else's approval of you, someone else's acceptance of you. But you can change that for yourself. You can have hard conversations. You can make empowered choices. And that is it. I hope you found this episode helpful. If you did, then please leave a review on the Apple Podcasts. I read every single one. I just went through all of them the other day. And there's over 700 reviews now, which absolutely blows my mind. I have one really bad review, which is I'm going to follow her because she's an anti-vaxxer, which I'm like, oh, I never even said that, which is kind of crazy. And then I have one other review that was like, oh, this is amazing. And then they gave me 2 stars. So a lot of 5-star reviews there, which is pretty cool. So obviously something is hitting and something is resonating. And if it does with you, then please give back by taking 30 seconds to write a review, because it lets other people know that this is a valuable podcast to put in their ears. Also, if you are needing personal help on your weight loss, guess what? I have a weight loss program. We talk about how to actually lose weight with behavioral change, not only what to do and what to eat, but actually how to implement it. And we work with serious women who are ready to take responsibility to get a different outcome in their life. Women who want to become the heroes of their own story. So if that is you and you are fed up of a lifetime or a decade or however it is long of dieting, and you want to create habits that keep the weight off once you've lost it without having to count calories, without having to crazy restrict, then hop on a call with our team. I'm going to put some details in the description and I would love to talk to you. That really is it for me, and I will see you next week for another episode. Bye!